In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You just heard us sing the words in the place of what we usually sing, the Trisagion, Holy God, Holy Mighty, Holy Immortal, the words, as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. How is it that we put on Christ in baptism, and what does that really mean? Before we can talk about what baptism means for us when we are baptized, we have to first talk about what Christ's baptism means, which is what we're celebrating today on the Feast of Theophany. In the Gospel reading, it said, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?" So St. John the Baptist recognized who Christ was. After all, Christ was his cousin, so he wasn't a stranger, but he also recognized that he was a holy person. Whether he understood all of that meant at that point or not, we don't know. But Jesus answered him and said, "Suffer to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he suffered him. Now, in King James English, when it says, "Suffer to be so now," that means permitted to be so now. There's another verse that you often hear quoted, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." When it says suffer the little children, that means allow them to come, because the disciples were trying to keep the children away from Christ so they wouldn't be bothered with them. But when Christ says, "For thus it becometh to fulfill all righteousness," what does that mean? If it was only necessary for Christ to be incarnate, in other words, become a man, and then to die and to rise again, he could have allowed Herod to kill him when he was an infant, and then risen from the dead, and then the whole story of the gospel would have been worked out in a very short period of time. But it was also necessary for him to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, for him to live a righteous life under the law and to be obedient, to live the kind of life that we should be living but are unable to do apart from the grace of God. And so Christ was circumcised on the eighth day, as we celebrated just this last week, according to the law. He went to the festivals of the Old Testament law. He obeyed his earthly parents. He lived a righteous life. Then, having lived a perfect life, when he died for our sins and rose from the dead and ascended to the heavens, he raised up our fallen human nature, because through him, human nature lived out the kind of life that it needed to live. But because he was God and he died as an innocent sufferer for our sins, he paid the penalty for our disobedience. And so therefore, he bestows on us forgiveness of sins, cleansing, and by the grace of God, the ability to live a godly life and to be like him and to be united with him for all eternity. Also, St. John the Baptist was a prophet of God, and so when he commanded the people to be baptized, that was one more commandment that Christ needed to fulfill. Why did John start baptizing people? Well, baptizing converts was a practice in Judaism. They also had different kinds of baths for ritual purposes, ritual cleansing purposes. But when someone was a convert to Judaism, they were immersed in a ritual bath so that they could be cleansed. And it was believed by the Jews that someone who became a convert and was thus cleansed became a new person. And so when John the Baptist commanded the Jews to be baptized, what he was saying was, is you people need to repent. You people are like the Gentiles that you look down on, and you need to prepare yourself for the coming of the one that comes after me. But when Christ came, he obeyed that commandment of God through the prophet John to be baptized, but also he was baptized for a number of reasons. One was, by him being baptized, he sanctified the waters. He renewed that part of creation, and he made it holy, and he blazed the trail for us in our baptism. Also, through his baptism, he imaged his own death and resurrection, because when you go under the water, a lot of people die that way. And so it's symbolically, by going under the water, that represents death, and then coming out of that water, that represents resurrection. And so just as Christ gave us the sacrament of the Eucharist, where we, through the consecrated wine and bread that are made into the body and blood of Christ, partake of him and are thereby saved, and we participate in his death and resurrection, so baptism is another means by which Christ provides us to be united to him. As a matter of fact, it's the very first means that we experience in the Christian life. When we are baptized, we enter into the water with Christ, and symbolically we die to sin and we're raised a new creature. In other words, we're born again, as Christ talked about in John chapter 3 to Nicodemus. In Romans 6:1-11, St. Paul talks about baptism, and most of this section is actually read at baptismal services. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And St. Paul's responding to people who are misunderstanding what it means to be a Christian and what the grace of God implies, and are under the mistaken impression because God wants to forgive us, that therefore some people might, going to the extreme, say, well, why not just keep sinning so that God's grace can continue to flow to us? And he's saying, God forbid, this is not what this is all about. Then he says, know ye not that so many as of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Christ bore our sins on the cross that we might put him on and live a new life. And so in baptism, we go into that water and we die to our sins. And when we come up out of that water, we are made into a new creature. The gift of the new life that we receive from Christ in baptism is something that we cannot earn or deserve, but it's only by the grace of God that we're able to receive it. But we are given this new life in order for us to bear good fruit. We have been given this new life to produce good fruit, and if we have failed to do so, then there is a second baptism available to us, and that's the baptism of tears. Let us confess to God when we fail to live that new life that he has given us, and let us water the dried up soil of our souls with our tears, that having been redeemed from all iniquity and purified anew, we may be a peculiar people set apart from the ways of this world and zealous for good works. Amen.